How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like finishing your laundry and successfully matching all your daughter's baby socks together on the first try.
Let's see. Panda socks, fire truck socks, socks with those cute little strawberries on them.
You matched each and every one of those tiny socks. I mean, has this ever happened in the history of laundry?
And a penguin wearing a cowboy hat socks. Done.
Enjoy the moment, Dad. You've earned it. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
So Cody Bellinger got traded to the New York Yankees. Jeff Passan reporting that. Bellinger headed to the Yankees. Now, Bellinger's wife used to date Giancarlo Stanton. So that's his ex. And so, yes, the Bronx is on fire. Steven, before we get to our guests, what do you make of that?
It seemed like a real NBA thing. Like, this happens a lot more in the NBA. Like, Scottie Pippen Jr., his mom, Larsa Pippen, had a baby with Malik Beasley, who was his teammate. Oh, like that. There's the famous Steve Nash, Jason Richardson story. So it's interesting here in baseball, but I feel like the Yankees need to do better. Like, you can't be having this. It's gonna bring some drama to the clubhouse.
Maybe they cleared it. Maybe they cleared it. Maybe they went to Stanton and said, "Hey, you got a problem with this?" And he was like, "No."
I would hope so. You know what? If I'm Giancarlo Stanton, I would love to have that opportunity. Like, no, let's not get this guy.
You had veto power.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. Jim Moore, formerly the Seattle PI. KJR Radio in Seattle. You can hear him with Jason Puck on Puck Sports. He's joining us now from Central Oregon. So listening on the ticket in Bend. How you doing, man? How's Central Oregon?
You know, I absolutely love it, John. Thanks for having me. I've been here, 14, 15 months now. The winters aren't too bad. The summers are terrific. I love the outdoors, love dogs, and it's just tailor-made for me. So it's been great. Plus, you know, there's a new...
Yeah, go ahead.
Guy that I can hear on local radio now here in Bend, too.
I love that. We're huge in Bend, so a lot of people listening to Jim Moore, you're going to see him down hanging around Bend. Give me an idea. Did you and your wife scout this out while you were working in Seattle? Did you take vacations there? Were you always like, you know, Anna and I are always looking, going, hey, where's that place where we would retire? We always kind of joke about it. How did Central Oregon or Bend get on the radar for the Moore family?
Well, her big draw was that she has a niece here, and she's really close to her niece and her three kids, and so that's why she wanted to come down here. And then for me, it was, I played in a golf tournament down here, the Pacific Amateur, for like 15 or 20 years in a row in September, and I just always loved it when I was here. I loved the smell of the juniper and all the pine trees and more sunshine than Seattle. And I hate to say this because I grew up in Seattle. It's always going to be my hometown, but I just don't miss it, John. I don't miss a damn thing about Seattle, the rain, and especially the traffic. And when people talk about traffic around here, it's like, oh, man, I had to wait a minute or two to get into a roundabout, you know? And I'm going, well, try Seattle on sometime.
Yeah, people don't know. And if you haven't lived and driven around Seattle, you would know traffic. Yeah, you'd probably laugh at people who say there's traffic in Portland as well. Jim? I got to ask you about John Mateer. I know you're a Washington State guy. That fan base took it hard. He gets in the portal after much debate. Like, what was the reaction that you had, or maybe as that debate was raging over the weekend, would he stay, would he go?
John, people probably don't want to hear from another guy railing on the radio about how much they hate the NIL and the transfer portal. But, yeah, I guess I'm that guy, too. It was really disappointing because you get a guy of that caliber, and he's probably the best quarterback in the transfer portal. And so many different things. Puckett and I talked about it yesterday, and you've got so many emotions. Like, you want to wish him well and do all that kind of thing that a grown-up person's supposed to do. And you also want to say, well, gee, you know, if I was 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever he is and somebody offered me that much money, I'd probably take it too. And then there's the other side of it where you're going, God, I hope loyalty comes through here. Washington State was the only one that thought something of you enough to give you a scholarship coming out of Little Elm, Texas. So, you know, how about showing some loyalty back to them? And our collective tried to get as much money as they could to them. All this different stuff. And, I just shake my head, John. I don't know what to say about college football anymore. It's especially in Washington State shoes, Oregon State, the smaller schools that were kicked to the curb like we were. And it just seems like we were kicked to the curb, and then people are going, yeah, I know you guys are already over there on the curb, but I think we'll just stop on you for some good measure here.
Yeah, and you watch the number of players getting into the portal and everything that Washington State, Oregon State have been through in the last, you know, 18 to 24 months, and it all just sort of stacks up. Does the fan base blame Mateer? Does it blame the system? Jake Dickert seemed to be mad at other teams and wondering if, you know, he should just throw the rules out.
Oh, I don't know who's to blame here. I imagine everyone's pointing fingers, you know, all over the place. But I think when it comes down to it, though, I mean, we're hearing reports now. I don't know if they're reports. They're probably rumors, but I'm not really a journalist anymore, so I'll just throw them out there anyway. That there's like a bidding war between Auburn, Oklahoma, and Miami that's reaching $4 million and $8 million over 2 years for John Mateer. And so you just sit there. And I think that what we offered, well, Dickert yesterday said we offered seven figures, but I'm sure it was like $1.0001 million if we got to. So, you know, what are you supposed to do if you're that kid? I throw this out. It's probably a bad analogy, but when I worked at the PI, I was talking to Puckett, Paul Sorensen, who used to be an All-American defensive back there at Washington State. You know, you would have taken the money too, Jim. You would have taken the money too. Like, the New York Times offered you triple what you were making at the PI. You would have taken it too. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't have. I would have had to live in Manhattan. I don't want to do that. You know, probably horrible analogy, John, but I'm just so torn on it, and it's got to be tough to be the coaching staff looking at a guy. You were the one who found this diamond in the rough. You developed him, and then he's gone, and you're going to see the development with another school, another program, and you got to just watch it from afar and then say you wish him well, even though you're thinking, God, I wish he was still back in Pullman. The thing is, I was laughing about it because I was thinking, he has to make the best decision for him and his family. Everybody's talking about that. Well, screw that, John. I was thinking, make the best decision for me, man. I've been watching Cougar football for 50 years, and I've been watching some crummy football over the years. How about just staying and rewarding somebody who's been an alum for 50 years and, you know, just take us to the national championship or whatever next year? But, of course, that didn't happen.
Did not happen. Jim Moore, longtime sports columnist, radio host, joining us. Jim, I off the top of the show today, I started talking about how big a problem is the portal for fans. And I know there are a lot of things wrong with college athletics right now, and you can talk about the imbalance. But in your mind, where is the portal, where does that rank in terms of frustrations for fans?
Oh, boy, in comparison to NIL?
NIL or perhaps, you know, just the imbalance in the conference realignment and television and, you know, because if I want to fix this, fixing the portal, how much of the issue does that fix?
Well, I would fix part of it. At least, you know, you'd have some rules regarding that. I think if it's a horse race, you got a photo finish at the wire with all those things, you know, and what one nosing out the other. They're all screwed up, John. And the portal, though, to me, let me know if you think this would work. Because so you got the end of the year now, and for the teams that aren't in the 12-team playoff, you got these bowl games that no one seems to care anything about, except for the TV networks that are broadcasting these games. The players don't care. I know the coaches do because they want the extra practices. To like what, build momentum for next year and get more practice for guys who are probably going to go in the portal anyway. But I was just thinking, why don't you have a sliding scale for the portal? And whenever you play your bowl game, you open the portal for that school the day after that game. And if you play on December 16th, it's open for you on the 17th. If you play on the 28th, it's open for you on the 29th. Because this business of the Holiday Bowl, we shouldn't even play in that game. I mean, Syracuse is going to wipe the floor with us. They just will. I don't even know. Maybe Syracuse is losing a bunch of players too, but the bowl games are a joke now unless you're in the 12-team playoff.
Jim, I am looking at the playoff, and I go, okay, this is good. Boise State's in it. Arizona State's in it. SMU is, you know, it's a new face. It's an old new face. Will you be tuned into the playoff, and what do you make of this first season?
Well, of course I'm going to be watching the playoffs. I bet on damn near every game, John. I mean, come on. and I'm going to be rooting hard for ASU. I'm going to be like, go Sparky, come on, let's go. And it's kind of like I talked to Puck about it, because all the defectors, we've been rooting against them. We don't want them to have success. But with ASU, we feel a little differently because we like Dillingham. He seems like one of us. Even though, I mean, I'm 67 and he's 34 or whatever, but God, he just seems like he likes to have a lot of fun. He just still seems like a college kid. And what they've done at ASU with them picked to finish last in the Big 12 and they won the title. So I'll be rooting for them. And then, of course, I'll be rooting for Boise State because they're going to be a Pac-12 member. And if those two schools could meet and go as far as they can, that'd be terrific. I'm not. Yeah, you know, I'm concerned, though, that they're going to just get blown out, especially Boise State. I know they fared well against Oregon, but that was early in the year. And I worry that, they might not do as well. And then people will go, well, see, you know, Ashton Genty, he just kind of rolled it up against teams that were inferior to other conferences. But I hope that's not the case.
Jim, you look at Boise State, their athletic department budget in the $50 million range. No other school in the playoff bracket is under $120 million. So just wrap your head around that. Boise State will spend about $24 million on football. Ohio State spends $72 million. They're in the same tournament here. What do you think's going to happen? Who do you expect to be playing in Atlanta at the end of the year?
Well, Oregon will be there. I mean, Oregon, I heard you talking about the other day, John, and they're with Puckett. And, yeah, they're, to me, the class of the field. And I think Ohio State taking a hit, losing to Michigan, and the narrow loss to Oregon there in Eugene. But, I think Oregon's going to win it all. I'm torn on that. Being a Coug, I don't necessarily root for the Ducks like I do the Beavs. I mean, I'm always rooting for the Beavers. I just absolutely love the Beavs. I got to tell you a quick story, John. I was Santa here at the shopping center at the old mill district. I had three shifts as Santa, and all these kids, you know, with the Oregon, you know, sweatshirts coming up to me and Santa, you know, can the Ducks win the national championship? That's what I want for Christmas. And Santa's like, well, I'll work on that. Ho, ho, ho. I had to lie to the kids. Santa had to lie to the kids. And then there was a Beaver kid, and I was like, hey, yeah, go Beavs, you know. Boy, you know what I like the most about going to games at Reacher Stadium? And he was like, what's that, Santa? And I go, I love your chainsaw. Santa loves your chainsaw, you know. So I'm more aligned with the Beavs. But my wife's a Duck, so I suppose, you know, I'll fake like I'm rooting for the Ducks, even if I've got, you know, money on the other team.
The Seattle sports market, you're never far from it, even though you are far from it. You know, you have the Seahawks that are kind of plodding along, had, I think, a better-than-expected season, even though they don't look like a contender. Mariners fans have to be real frustrated. Let's hit those two things, Jim. Give me your take on the Seahawks season and their future and the Mariners offseason.
Well, the Seahawks season certainly took a hit Sunday night because I think they thought, okay, we've won four in a row here. It's time to see if we can measure up with one of the better teams in the league. And the Packers kind of showed them what's what there. So that was disappointing. But mostly you can think about, well, Ken Walker didn't play that night. The offensive line has been a shambles all year. Injuries and just guys that aren't very good is a bad combination. But still, I think all in all, to be 8-6 in the first year with Mike McDonald coming in, the young coach, I think he's done a good job. So, yeah, they seem a year or two away, but I think you're hopeful if you're a Seahawks fan. Now, if you're a Mariners fan, you're not hopeful at all. You can't believe that Jerry DePoto still has his job. And he always said that when the time was right that they were going to jump into the deep end of the pool when it came to free agency. But that was a bunch of BS, it turned out. And ownership's not spending money. Everyone's down on the ownership. They got to trade Luis Castillo, arguably their ace, but you know, he's making $24 million, so you got to trade him so you can get some flexibility with the payroll and at the same time get some guys that can connect more than strike out. That's what I'm really looking forward to this year, John. If they strike out, like, I don't know, 1,800 times this year, they'll set a season record for the franchise third year in a row striking out. It's just, it's insane. And everybody, you know, the thing is, I know you love baseball. You played it in college. I love baseball. And but you just kind of go, God, I'm never going to turn away from the Mariners. But it's kind of hard to think that they're going to go anywhere. And baseball, that's another thing. You look at the Yankees and the Dodgers, the Mets, all these teams that are spending money. Well, how can the Mariners measure up with what those teams are doing?
Does it feel a little bit like college football to you in that way?
Well, it does. It does. I saw the headline today. I think it was at ESPN. I saw Cody Bellinger was traded. I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll click on that and see where he was traded. I don't even know why I clicked on it. I should have just known it was going to be to the Yankees, Mets, or Dodgers. And yeah. Sure enough, there he goes. I mean, how do you compete with that? Why would you not have a salary cap in baseball? How can, I mean, if you're a fan of a small market team, I mean, you always sit there and you think, you know, spring training, you go to spring training, you hear the cleats on the concrete, and this is the year. Well, who the hell in their right mind can say that anymore unless you're, you know, with the Yankees, Dodgers, or the Mets?
Yeah, it's disheartening because, you know, Ryan Divish, who you know at the Seattle Times, I said, how do the Mariners compete? And he says they almost have to be perfect. They have no margin for error. Everyone has to stay healthy. The pitching staff has to be what it's expected to be, and you need a couple of surprises in the lineup that'll make you more competitive. And if that doesn't happen, you know, the Dodgers and Yankees have gone all in, and they've got guys on the bench that will come in for them, and they can withstand. You know, they can withstand not being at their best because, you know, they've got other guys, or they can withstand injuries, and you just can't do it if you're a small market team. It makes me wonder about MLB to PDX because you've been through this in Seattle. You know, if Portland ever got an MLB team, Jim, it feels like they would kind of be like the Blazers or the Mariners or, you know, all those small market teams that struggle.
Well, maybe so, John, but if you're in Portland and you're a baseball fan, you'd be so excited to have Major League Baseball there. I mean, and you know, just briefly on Seattle again, the thing that makes it so aggravating is you can argue, and you'd have a great argument, that they have the best starting staff in baseball. And, you know, to see them kind of squander that and blow that window of opportunity by not having a better lineup is just crazy. But you know, the thing about Portland and getting an MLB team, it's so much fun. I remember, I go way back. I mean, I'm 67. I go back to when the Seattle Pilots came to town. And that was in 69. I was 12 years old. And I was so thrilled. And the team wasn't good, but it was so fun to have a major league team there. Now, they left after 1 year and went to Milwaukee. Yeah. And I remember being 13 years old going, hey, what the hell? Why'd they take the Pilots away, Dad? And then when the Mariners came back in 77, you got to go through that all over again. So it's a fun deal when you have a major league team, especially early on, because the expectations aren't very high.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're right about Portland. If there were MLB and an opportunity, I don't care if it's the A's and John Fisher. I think a lot of Portland baseball fans would be like, sign me up. We'll figure it out later. Jim Moore, sports columnist, radio host in Seattle for a few decades, is with us. He's living now in Central Oregon. All right, tell us, what do we need to know about retirement that you have learned? Because, you know, I like talking to guys in the gym. They've retired. I said, all right, tell me what I need to know. Educate us, Jim Moore, on the early year or months of retirement.
You know what's funny about being retired, John, that I found, and a lot of people say that, you seem to stay busy even though you don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do. Like, I mean, today I went to the dump, and it was a good day going to the dump and then going for a walk with my dogs. And when we're done here, I'm thinking about maybe taking a late nap. But, you know, the other thing is that it's I don't want to be retired 7 days a week. I want to have kind of a purpose still. And so I'm still, you know, doing the podcast with Puckett, still doing some writing for the News Tribune. I'm trying to get my wife is on me about this Substack thing. because she really thinks, you know, that yes. maybe I can get extra income with the Substack thing. I know guys like you ruin it for guys like me, though, because you've gone gangbusters with what you're doing, but there's probably a million guys who aren't doing as well as you. But she seems to think that I can maybe make some headway there. So I'm just kind of dipping my toe in a few different things, because I tell people that you can't really, I don't really want to golf every day. And I love to golf. I'm not good, but I love to golf. But I think it's more fun when you golf two or three times a week and you've got other things going on too.
I am on your Substack right now. Jim Moore, the go-to guy on Substack. You wrote a Dear John letter to John Mateer this week. I love it. Look, I'm gonna pull you on this radio show once in a while. We're gonna talk about what you're doing on Substack. How about that? We're not gonna let you fully retire. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I mean, some people have pledged money to me, which I really appreciate, but I don't know how it works yet, and I don't want to take anybody's money until I can convince myself that I can churn out content. When I was at the newspaper, so
you've got a conscience. A retired guy with a conscience. I love it.
That's how I feel about it, though, John.
Jim Moore, thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll let him go back to being retired now. Leave it here. You got the BFT.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.